Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armeley.
As I start this morning, I just want to invite the Holy Spirit. So would you just lift your hands for a moment and just invite the Holy Spirit right where you're at. Holy Spirit, we honor you this morning. We recognize that you are the one who fills us, who strengthens us, who refreshes us. Holy Spirit, I just ask right now, even from the start, that you would just fill us up to overflowing where we're sitting, where we're standing. Lord, just fill us up. We honor you. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for the strength you've given us through these weeks. You are so faithful. You've kept us well, all of us, and we're so grateful. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So this morning, I'm kind of ending up Pastor Jay's series on being strong and courageous. Right? And I came across a scripture the other day, which I found very interesting. In Zechariah 9:12, it says, "Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore to you twice as much." So we have been prisoners of hope. As we've been in our homes and not able to move around very much, it's beginning to lift a little bit now. But, you know, Paul was in prison for much of the epistles that he wrote. And yet Paul was not seeing himself as a prisoner. He was seeing himself as free in the Spirit. And he wrote to churches and he ministered to people. And I think, Lord, walls in the natural realm are really not an issue when we know you. And so we are prisoners of hope, prisoners soon to be let out. Amen. Hope is confident expectation that good is coming based on the promises and goodness of God. So God has given us many promises, and God has given us great hope. There's a work to be done, and I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. If we're kind of stuck this morning thinking this has dragged on a long time, I want to focus you this morning, and Pastor Jay's going to continue that next week. So the scripture that he focused on for the last 6 weeks was Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified and do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So even in this time of being in a lockdown, God's been with us. We've never been alone. For the workers in the hospital, the nurses, the doctors, the healthcare workers, he's been with you. He's never left you. He's never going to leave us. We are secure in him. Joshua and Caleb, as they went into the promised land as spies, they had a very different attitude than the other 10, right? They saw themselves as the giants. They did not see themselves as the grasshoppers. And I'm telling you, church, we're heading into a season where we have to see ourselves as the giants, not to lord it over anybody, but to know that the God of hope is with us, and what he's done over the last 8 weeks has formed something inside of us so strong that it has transformed us, but it will now begin to transform everyone that we are in contact with. I'm still recapping here. Proverbs 4:20 and 21, which was a key scripture that Pastor Jay focused on. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." And when he spoke about that a couple of Sundays ago, really encouraging us to be very careful how much negative news we take in, it's so witness to my heart. Because, you know, all of us are spending more time on the internet. All of us are spending more time on the news, and it's negative. And what it does, it actually puts fear and discouragement into us and hopelessness. Instead, we need to be spending time in the Word. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit further, but the Word gives us hope. And even if you don't feel anything when you read it, you need to know that the Word is working inside of you because it has life in it and it does not return to you void. Amen? So spending time with the Lord in His presence is crucial. This has been declared as a time of reset, okay? To set again or to set differently. We are going to come out of this different. It really was a reset for most of the world. The hecticness, the chaoticness, the rushing around, the not knowing what to do first has all stopped. And people have had a chance to sit, even if they don't know the Lord, to sit and to be quiet. And it has done something to people. I was talking to someone yesterday, and they said, I had no idea how fast I was running and how busy I was. I'm almost afraid to go back out there because I don't want to pick that pace back up. And I think a lot of people are feeling the same way. And so for the rest and the peace that has come, the Lord says we need to now retain that. We were encouraged to rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 tells us to rejoice always. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus. I mean, have we ever had a season where we've needed to be thankful? And people are thankful. I think we recognize in North America the gift we've been given of peace in our nation. We can't take that for granted. And yet in the middle of this, I do know that there are many people who've suffered through this as they've lost loved ones. And it's been very, very difficult. But God is there. He's with you. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. And He will comfort you like no one else can. There has been a global move to walk in 2 Chronicles 7:14. I don't know how many of you have been able to follow some of the prayer movement that's been going on globally, but it's been absolutely amazing. It is one of the things I have followed quite closely. And just this last Friday, there was a call for pastors to get on Zoom, and it lasted about an hour, and Doug Ford was on with us, as well as the Honorable Stockwell Day and Monty McNaughton and just a few others. And it was a time of prayer, but it was when the speakers came on, it was to pray for them. And it was an amazing time. Over 900 pastors got on. That's for Ontario. And so that's amazing. And to hear our premier really share his heart about how difficult this really is and how he isn't the one just making those decisions, that there's people that walk with him, just to hear him. And then to hear the head of the Pentecostal Assemblies pray for him and somebody else pray for Stockwell Day and someone else pray for the health and welfare physically of the people of Ontario was absolutely amazing. 900 pastors. That would never have happened before. And so it's pretty amazing what this lockdown has done. I have been on global calls. I was on one the other day. There were 6,000 people just in our area here. 60,000 worldwide. People praying, people repenting. It's amazing. It's amazing. We truly have entered a new era, and we're not going to go back to the same. I know the world is concerned about what this will look like when we go back, but I really believe this is the church's greatest hour because God has done something inside of us. I want to share with you just a thought. We've been with the King. If you've been wise, you've spent time with the Lord. And if you haven't taken that as seriously as you should, if you probably have 2 weeks left, start today. When in Luke 7, 36 to 38, there was a dinner at a Pharisee's house. And a woman comes in who's a sinner, probably a prostitute. She's had a very sinful life. She brings in an alabaster box or jar of perfume, and she stands behind him, and she begins to weep at his feet because she has just come into the presence of perfect anointing, the king. And she's broken, and as she weeps over his feet, she, I'm sure, is looking at her life and thinking, oh, Lord, what have I done? And she begins to kiss his feet. And then she pours the ointment on his feet. And she anoints his feet. And in some accounts, it says she wiped his feet with her hair. She's undone in his presence. Many have been sitting at the feet of Jesus and have been undone. When we're so busy, we can't hear ourselves. We often can't even see where we're missing the mark in our daily walk. During these global calls of prayer, leaders from all over the world began to share how God was dealing with their hearts very lovingly, but God was revealing truth to them, and they were broken and repentant. I watched one on Friday with Watchmen, the brokenness on the leaders that spoke. People we all know and have heard of. Mike Bickle was on. A couple from Israel were on. Bill Johnson was on. Just different ones. Francis Chan. I mean, across different belief systems, really. Just so broken before the Lord, sharing how the Lord had just met them in such a deep place. I mean, it just impacted me as I sat there. The anointing just kept getting heavier and heavier and heavier as Francis Chan just spoke to Bill Johnson. This is all on Zoom, and Bill is crying, you know, as he spoke about who he saw Bill to be and how Bill had received him. And they differ in their theology greatly. And Mike Bickle, how he honored Bill Johnson. And I sat there. I thought, God, what are you doing in the middle of this? David Damian, so broken before the Lord. But you know what's happening with all this, church? When that lady, that woman, left that room after she anointed Jesus, the perfume, the fragrance, was not only on Jesus, it was on her too. And churches, we spend time with him. The anointing won't just be because we've poured it out on him. It will have come back on us, and we're going to have a different fragrance on us. It's just amazing. I want to make a statement, and I want you to hear me clearly. We will only live in the kingdom of God to the degree that we have been intimate with the King himself. In the days that unfold, when we're back out, we're going to be different. But we're going to be different in many ways. Because we've been with the King of Hope, and now the King of Hope has amplified himself in us. And when we walk out, we're going to walk in hope, speak in hope, love in hope like we never have before. But some other things are going to happen too. I believe we're walking into a season where the kingdom of God is going to be revealed as never before. We have to change the way we think. We have to change the way we think. We've thought church. We've got to think kingdom. Jesus came to show us what the kingdom looked like. Pastor Claude spoke about it in communion. We're going to walk the same way. That's the season that's upon us. Okay? It's not going to be church as normal anymore. Church is going to be out where we walk, laying hands on the sick, and they're healed. I got a testimony yesterday from a lady I was speaking to, and about a year ago, she brought a couple into the church, and they've never been back, but this couple came to the front, and they received prayer. And this lady who attends our church talked to the couple yesterday. He had cancer and COPD and wasn't expected to live very long. Well, guess what? No cancer. I says, now the COPD is going too. No cancer. Cancer free. Praise God. That's what we want to see. You know, it's been a year. We didn't hear. All of a sudden, you hear. You're going to lay hands on people once the, you know, we're allowed to again. And we have to honor all that. But you know what? Distance is nothing for the Lord. I mean, Smith Wigglesworth could point at somebody that's running down a field who was possessed and just pointed his finger at him, and the man fell down, got totally delivered. So we don't need to touch. God will heal regardless. So that was an incredible testimony. It says about Jesus, wherever he went in Galilee, in Matthew 2:23, he taught in their synagogues, preached good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among them. The same is going to be true. That's what the church was supposed to be doing. That's what we're going to be doing. He loved people. I mean, he went to a funeral and wrecked a funeral, right? Raised the dead. He needed food. He multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish. The fishermen had been out all night and they were going to go home with no catch. I mean, there's many reasons and much teaching around there. But he also loved them enough to know he didn't want them going home without his catch. And so the boats, the nets were so filled that they had to help one another, right? When he was asked to pay taxes, he just opened the mouth of a fish and pulled out a coin. That's the kingdom we're supposed to live in, church. Okay? So God has given to each one of us, Romans 12:3, he has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. That faith has to be developed in all of us. You say, well, I can't pray for anybody. You begin. We just begin. And I've got a few testimonies I want to share with you because God has been so faithful. So let me, and this scripture here, 1 Corinthians 13:13, out of the love chapter, it ends with these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So Jesus' love supersedes everything. Hope looks to the future. It's always a future tense. So I want to say to you today, church, we have a hope and we have a future. I want to change the negative reports that we're seeing everywhere. We have a hope and a future. Come on. It's not over. We have a hope and a future. Faith is now. It's right now. Faith now. It says faith now is. It's now. I'll receive the answer right now. I have it now. It's not hoping that gets the job done. It's believing. Someone said, well, I believe I will receive my healing sometime. That's not faith. That's hope, because it's looking to some indefinite future time. Jesus already healed us 2,000 years ago, 1 Peter 2:24. Faith says, I receive my healing now. Hebrews 11:1 reveals faith is giving substance to things hoped for. Faith is giving substance to things hoped for. Faith is not trying to figure out with human reasoning. Now, I want to caution us, because the last thing that always enters in before God's getting ready to do a miracle is human reasoning. That's the devil's attack. If Satan can keep us in human reasoning about a situation then we need a miracle for, he can defeat us every time. But if we stay in faith, speak the word of God in the situation, and we don't waver, we will defeat him Satan every time. Come on. If we don't waver, if we speak the word of God into the situation, we'll defeat the enemy every time. Jesus talked about the seed of a mustard, the seed the size of a mustard seed that can move a mountain. If a seed of faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain, what will happen when we, the church, develop a faith muscle to believe God? If we really start to believe that God's word is the truth. Listen, church, to get results, we have to act like God's word is the truth. Come on, we have to believe the word is the truth. And what God has said is the truth. And how Jesus walked is the truth. And how we can walk is the truth. How we can heal the sick is the truth. How we can pray for the finances to multiply is the truth. That is the new normal, Pastor Claude. That's where we're going. This new era is going to be a faith era. It's going to be a Holy Spirit-led era. It's going to be a signs and a wonder era. Why not be excited about what God's going to do? So we were encouraged to get out our prophetic words and look at what God has said. What's the vein that runs through your prophetic word that God says you will do in your lifetime? And Tony, you need to step into your calling. If you're listening to me this morning, I'm telling you, God highlighted you this morning for me. And I've prayed with you many times. You have profound prophetic words. Don't let your busy season distract you from the higher call that's on your life. You carry a mantle of incredible healing. Woman, you need to step into it further and further and further. And that's for a lot of us, but some have a particular anointing on their lives. We also have been told to write out declarations about ourselves. We need to pull out life declarations. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. When we started this year, 2020 or 5780, it's the year of the mouth. That is going to play itself out this year in a powerful way. Declaring our prophetic words, declaring the word of God, declaring the declarations we've written out, declaring that God is a healer, declaring the word of truth, not declaring the negative, the discouragement, all the stuff that we're hearing that is of the prince of the power of the air. We need to declare the opposite into the atmosphere. We need to declare the truth that there's a future and a hope. Right. Come on, there is a huge future ahead of us of what God is about to do. And there's a harvest coming in that's going to be amazing. So testimony, financial testimony. For those that don't know me, that are watching, I oversee a second ministry called Titian Ministries International. It's in Ghana, West Africa. And there's an orphanage and there's a ministry to elderly and a Bible school. Well, you need finances and to do anything in that ministry, as all ministries are the same way. So when God asked me to take this over, I mean, the means usually you get finances for those type of ministries is to fundraise. And I began to sit before the Lord and I said, Lord, fundraisers are tiring and it's not my forte. So, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. And I did. I'm speaking truth here. Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. My God will supply all the needs for ACM and Titian Ministries. So this past, I think, April 2019, the Lord really put on my heart to begin to build a bungalow for our youngest children. We didn't have the money. We had a little bit. And I said, Lord, I'm just going to begin. And we'll watch you do it. I want to say the bungalow's done. It's beautiful. It's all painted. Everything is there. It's all paid for. It's all paid for. God brought it all in. We've just finished building an outside kitchen for them because they like to cook outside. but they need shelter and all the rest of it, and a garage. And it's just exciting to see how God has provided that. And just this past week or past 2 weeks, another $3,000 came in. I said, Lord, and for some ministries, that's like, you know, drop in the bucket. But for us, it's how we function over there. And it's huge. And God is just meeting our needs everywhere. So God is able. God is able. And this morning, I just had George Mueller drop in my heart. Do you know that that man fed 16,000 orphans? 11,000 of them were there all the time. Another over 5,000 came in as the needs, you know, were too hard in the families. He fed them all during World War II. He never asked anybody for any money. He just kept turning to the Lord for everything he needed. It's a whole different kingdom, church, than what we're used to living in. Amen? And it's the kingdom he's asking us to walk into. And I'm preaching this because you guys are going to go back to work. You're going to go back into your businesses. You know, small businesses, larger businesses. How is this all going to work for you? I'll tell you, there's a way it will work. I'm seeing it as clearly as can be. I want to give you another testimony to stir your faith this morning. A church in Sarnia took a step to walk according to the word. The pastor felt to sow their whole mission fund all at once into six ministries they supported overseas in different countries. It really dropped heavy in the spirit, and their way of doing it was they would do it once in January, once in the summer, and once later on in the fall in three installments. But he really felt the Lord tell him, give it all to him now. And so he went to his board, and the board fully agreed. And so he sowed $32,000 into those missionaries when COVID-19 was on for about 2 weeks already. And those missionaries contacted him and said, no one ever does this. He says, well, God told me to make sure that you were taken care of. Well, the following Sunday, he shared with his congregation online what he had done. That Sunday, the offering was $32,000. The following Sunday, the offering was up again. The Sunday after that, another $30,000 came in. Because of faith, believing that God would meet their needs as a church, they sowed, and God came through more abundantly than they could even imagine. We understand that, yes. But can you imagine what happened to the pocketbooks of the people that sowed? Because he did it for the pastor, but then in turn, as people responded, he did it for the people. That's how the kingdom works. We just have to, by faith, understand that God's kingdom is different than our kingdom. You know, we work in the natural, and that's what Jesus was trying to walk out so clearly before them. My kingdom doesn't function like yours. And when he died on the cross, there was an incredible exchange that happened that we need to begin to reach into. It's very clear that he took all of our sickness, he took all of our rebellion, he took all of our pain, all of our disease, and instead he gave us health. Correct? That's when we pray for someone, we stand on that. Lord, you did it 2,000 years ago. This person's healed. We may not see it right away, but this person's healed because that's your word. He also took our poverty on him. He died in abject poverty to give us his riches. His kingdom is very different. And we've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus to draw on everything that he has provided. Not to build up, you know, everything to have a bigger house, bigger car. That's not what it's about. The Lord blesses us in the middle of it all. But it's to build his kingdom, to build people, to bless people, to help the impoverished, to turn devastating situations around. What a blessing it is when we can bless others because God has blessed us. Amen? I want to give you another testimony. And this is my parents. You know, we've been sitting in our homes for the last 8 weeks. We've been sitting in comfort with internet, with food, because we could go and buy food, right? With heat on, with clothing on. I mean, we've been blessed. Yes, we've been isolated to our home so we don't get a disease. But we could watch all the movies we wanted, barbecue, I mean, whatever, right? We could have family time, play board games. Well, my parents dated during World War II. And much of the time, my father was, believe it or not, hiding in a hole in the ground with a tent over it. He and his brother were hiding from the Germans. They were looking for them. My parents dated, if you can call it dating. After the war, as soon as it ended on, just at the end of the war, 1948, they got married. They had nothing. There was rubble, destruction all around them. Europe was devastated. There wasn't enough food for anybody. In Holland, people were eating tulip bulbs, and that's a known fact. It's in the history books. My parents got married. They had a bedroom in my in-law's home. And for their living quarters, they cleaned out a chicken coop, painted it, put little gingham curtains in the window, and that was their living area. That was their little kitchen. That's where they lived. My mom and dad had two kids there, my brother John and I. They didn't say there's no future and there's no hope. They did not. They got vision to rebuild a nation. The people in Germany got vision to rebuild. In England, everything was bombed out. Even I, as a child, remember when I lived in Holland, there was still rubble in many places because it takes a long time to clean up a country after a war. They had vision to rebuild. All of Europe had to have vision to rebuild. When we were in Liberia, Claude and I and Pastor Bonnie, we could still see areas where there had been bombings and big mortar holes in buildings. But there was also already in a third world nation a whole lot rebuilt. Bridges rebuilt, roads rebuilt, businesses were running. People are resilient and they come back. We have to focus with God's mindset now to go out of there. Out of our time of isolation with purpose, not just to get busy again, but with purpose to expand his kingdom. We've been given the tools. So for families, for businesses, we are being told there will be months of difficulty. It'll take months to recover. So what are we going to do with this? I want to suggest that if you have a business, you start looking in the scriptures regarding finances. That you start writing out declarations over your business, as I had to write out declarations over Titian Ministries. Write out declarations and declare what God will do for you. God has given us many, many promises in the Word. And he speaks about finances all the time. But there's something we got to understand here, church. God's kingdom didn't change because COVID came along. God's finances didn't change because, everything's been shut down and the government has had, payout packages for people. That hasn't impacted God's kingdom. His kingdom hasn't changed at all. He's still got the cattle on 1,000 hills. He still has finances because he gave us his riches and took our poverty. So what are you going to start declaring over your businesses? I want to encourage you to start declaring that you are going to prosper in this time. Start writing out declarations over your business. If you're in a law firm, you might not even be the owner of that business, but you're going to go back to work. Start writing out declarations about the businesses, how God's going to prosper them, and declare them with your family. Start declaring over your household funds, God's blessing over them, and watch God begin to work. Don't speak what is being said out in the public. Speak what God's word says. Amen? Say, well, you don't know what I'm living in. No, I don't, but I know what my parents were living in, and I know what they came out of. Amen? I grew up in that atmosphere. I grew up with my parents coming to Canada because they wanted to find a better life for their kids. I watched my father work, and I watched him get saved, and I watched him learn a better way. There is a better way. It was my father that prayed for Jay when his hearing was not there. It was my father that stood in a Catholic church at a baptism and prayed over him for him to be healed. A man with great faith. I can look back on all that now and say, my God, you have been good to us. You will always rise to the level of your confession. You're going to rise to the level of your confession. So what are you going to confess? My heritage is faith, not fear. That's good. I'm going to give you another testimony because I want you to recognize, church, we're stepping into a new era. Kenneth Hagin, who's gone home to be with the Lord, his testimony is amazing. And I think, Pastor Jay, you carry such a similar testimony. As a young man, he spent 16 months in bed. You were a baby. He was older. But you carry it in your heart. He had an incurable blood disease, and he had a deformed heart, which caused him to be paralyzed. He had been told that he would die. He's 16 years old. He's in bed. He was in bed for 16 months. While in bed, he began to study the Word of God, and he found 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am a new creation in Christ. That became his key scripture. That is what he focused on. He also studied the cross and the finished work of the cross. He then, out of a place of realizing that his healing had been all paid for 2,000 years ago, began to find every scripture on healing and began to declare it over himself. He walked out of that healing bed into totally healed. And you know what he held on to? I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm brand new. I'm a new prototype. Kenneth Hagin really was a father of faith. He just lived way beyond where most of the church was at the time. And when you look at where the man lived in faith and what he got a hold of, when I read it, I thought, God, I want that. I want that. I want to build. I've had a prophetic word. I'm going to go into other countries and do what I did in Ghana. I'm not too old. I have a future. Because if God's going to do it, I just have to hold his hand and walk with him. Amen? When it comes to healing, I have an anchor now. Because I watched God heal my son. And I watched, as I thought about his healing last night as I was preparing this, I thought, Lord, I didn't appreciate or understand as a new Christian, because I was a new Christian maybe 2 years in the Lord when Jay was born. Not even, probably a year and a half. But we went to a very small prayer meeting in Petrolia. My parents were involved in this prayer group. And when I came in, there were people there from India that believed in healing. There was a priest there from England that believed in healing. I mean, there was only a dozen people in the room, and there was somebody from another country, and my parents are gone, I can't ask them anymore, but there were nations in that room who prayed for him. And then God orchestrated that I would meet the head of the prayer community I belong to in a parking lot, and he's going to Pittsburgh to Catherine Kuhlman Healing. He says, how's your son? I said, very critical. He's in London in the hospital. He said, well, I'll take him on my heart to the meeting because it's a healing meeting. So here's a man now going to be in a meeting. And my faith level at that point had risen some. You got to remember, I'm exercising my faith muscle now. And I'm in agreement with him. I'm going to stand in agreement with you. He goes to the meeting. Catherine Kuhlman has a word of knowledge from the platform at the front that a baby in London, Ontario, Canada is being healed. Amen? That's Jay. Next day, I get a call from the hospital in London. The doctor says, I have no idea what's happened to your son. His blood levels are normal. Come and get him. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, if that isn't an anchor to believe that my God heals, you know, my God heals. He's proven it to me. He's now the senior pastor here. And the enemy didn't want Jay there. You need to know that too. That was a war for his life. Faith comes by hearing, church, and hearing the word of God. And so, that's Romans 10, 17, sorry. And Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of your word brings light. We need to be in the word. We need to know the word. We just do. We've been hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. I pray that during this time of lockdown, you've been in the word. There are treasures and riches in there that God's revealing in this hour. We truly are new creations in Christ Jesus. And church, we've been told we can shift atmospheres. We really can. It's amazing. Finally, the scripture that the Lord gave me to stand on, I didn't fully understand it, but I understand it fully today, was when we were looking for property to buy, to move into, or a building to move into, and we just were hitting dead-end roads. And the Lord gave me this scripture, Romans 4, 19 to 22. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform, became my scripture. I had prophetic words that God had a building for me. I had prophetic words that God had money in the bank for me. And I'm saying, God, where is it? Where is it? We were looking to buy different properties, and everything fell, just stopped. It didn't work because God had this already. It took me activating my faith to begin to draw up blueprints for a facility that activated this. In the middle of one of those meetings, someone handed me a tiny little advertisement that the facility we are now in was for sale. And it took faith, because at the time, we had $100,000 in the bank. And this cost $1,025,000. So, long story short, God is able, and he's provided, and he's paying it off, and he's blessing you as you step into faith, and he will bless you. So I want to encourage you to step into a new place of faith. You've been given a measure of faith. You say, I don't have any faith. That's not true. He has given you a measure of faith. He's given me a measure of faith. My faith level has increased because I've watched God as I've stood on his promises. Your faith level will increase. That's why your prophetic words are so crucial. That's why testimonies are so crucial. That's why being in the word is so crucial, so that you will grow in faith. And when an obstacle stands before you, because you now know that your God is able to do for you exactly what the word says, you'll speak to that mountain and it'll move. Amen? You'll lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. We will come into a time where we'll raise the dead. Amen? This really was training for reigning, church. And the best is still ahead of us as we walk out of this place and we see people come to know Jesus like never before. We already are. Jews are coming in to the kingdom all over the place. People are being saved because they're crying out to the Lord, because they don't understand, and he's the only source. Amen? So God bless you. Let me just pray. Okay. They're sitting in the front row. They're bad. When's Pastor Claude not bad? Amen. We are so blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Father, I pray that we would grab a hold of the new season, the new era we're in. Lord, it's an amazing season we're entering into. Yes, Lord, I do know there's pain in many, many homes. But Lord, you're the one that will walk into their lives through us. Lord, we have the words of life on our tongue. Father, we have your love pouring through us. Lord, we have your eyes to see with now that we've slowed down. Lord, to see the ones that are struggling so badly. Lord, we have ears to hear the cries of the broken. Lord, don't ever let us ever speed up again to the crazy speed we were moving in. Lord, let us walk with you as you walked and you just released life wherever you went. Lord, the kingdom of heaven is advancing and we want to advance with you. Lord, we thank you for meeting us. Thank you for teaching us. Lord, we bless you. Bless the people that are watching. Let faith arise in their hearts. Father, let them have hope for the future. Father God, let them cast out everything negative the enemy's tried to sow and say, no, we got a good future ahead of us. We're going forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.